Does God not know when the cup is full? Amen. Does God not have an idea of enough? Hallelujah. Does God not have an idea of enough? Sometimes those topics just form themselves. John 10. You know, John is a special character among the disciples of Jesus. One of the youngest. But he ensured he had an account, an eyewitness account. There were 12, and we only had 2 eyewitness accounts. That would be Matthew and John. Luke and Mark were Paul's disciples. Mark was firstly Barnabas' disciple, and of course later on Paul's disciple. So why did the others not write? I wouldn't know. Maybe education and all of that could play a role. But John was quite special. You know, he was one that renamed himself and tells us that he planned everything. So at the night of the Last Supper, he ensured that he went close to Jesus and he put his head on Jesus' chest so that he can write about it later. So when they asked him, who are you among them? He said, the one that he loved. You didn't see the picture. If you had seen the picture, you'd have seen that. Have you seen that picture where someone was putting head on his chest, on the Savior's chest? Say yes. Not to be proud, I'm the one. And he kept mentioning himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. And earlier this year, you know, God placed a reminder on my heart that it's an example for us to follow. Remind yourself often that God loves you. If there are better confessions of faith and better anchors of faith than that, it's no more than 3. If you keep yourself in the reminder that I am loved of God, make up your mind. God loves me too much. Too much for me to be at a disadvantage. God loves you too much. I won't go astray. He loves me. Amen. You lead me anyway, anyhow. You send me the word. He will send me his prophet. He will send me pictures. He will show up in the dream. Strangers will talk. I'll see it in the newspaper. I'll see it on blogs. Somehow, you lead me because he loves me. I am that boy God loves. Amen. A good reminder, a daily reminder. He loves me. And because he loves me, and because I'm not at a disadvantage, and because I always have direction, I will make it. What a confession that is. I told my wife many years ago, before I got married, I said, I'll make it. Amen. I've told quite a few friends, the best time to join the train is now. Because I will make it. Is everything about money? Well, you're talking to me. You can't accuse me of being a money-centered preacher. You can do the math on JC Media. I won't argue that one with you. Amen. And I'm telling you, part of God's will is that you don't beg. You don't live your life begging. I'll make it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. He will give me the wisdom, the idea, the resources, the man, the places. He will lead me in the way I should go. And I'll be fine. John 10. Yeah, let's get to the word now. I am the door, verse 9. If any man enter in. Sorry, there's a strange noise I'm hearing. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thank you. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you may have life, and have it more abundantly. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And say, sometimes our focus can be on the thief. Again, contextually, you know, he's talking about the Pharisees and their false doctrines and all of that. But this teaching is not for that one. Sometimes our focus on the demons. Sometimes our focus on the negative. I had a dream. In the dream, I was sinking. And what happened? See, that was it. You were drowning and you didn't come back. I told her, I said, watch what you're focusing on. You should be back. The issue is not drowning. The thief will come. But Jesus said, I am come too. The question is, where's your eyes? Isaiah 26 verse 3, one of my favorites. It says, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. If my mind is stayed on the Lord, I will have perfect peace. He didn't just say peace. He says perfect peace. Our perfect peace. He keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. So he says, don't focus on the thief. I am come that you may have life. And have it more abundantly. Don't focus on demons. There are people whose entire life is about demons and all that. See, I told someone some years ago, I said, when it comes to demons and the devil, there are two phrases you need to know. And that solves everything. Shut up and get out. Amen. You don't need to know more than that. I mean, you don't need to know more than shut up and get out. Hallelujah. Can we repeat together? Shut up and get out. Hallelujah. Is that simple? Yeah. The next one is a manifestation of a demonic authority around you. You don't need much. Don't start quoting anything. That's too much respect. The devil can also smell fear. I come to you in the name of the Lord Israel. He does not really believe it like that. Let me just show something. So the person just goes, woo! You say, hey! What will woo do to you? So you just got to ask yourself. Okay, the person is eating his head on the wall. How does that affect you? How does that make you more scared? He's running at you, and so you to run. Run at him. Amen. We're in a yellow now. Hallelujah. You know, take Gumbang Lady Gamma Roger. Let me interpret that one. Before you say it's a cartation. Take Gumbang Lady. If a masquerade is considered deity in a particular Nigerian culture. Deity. So if a masquerade is chasing you, keep running. As you are getting tired, the masquerade is getting tired. Amen. Motion Raya Lone Around. Amen. The victory is yours. Don't focus on the devil. Just learn those words. Shut up. Get out. Say it with so much authority in Christ, because that's what you have. You have actually have authority in Christ. He died your death. You are in him. He is in you. The spirit by which you live now, Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. I've got no evil spirit. What I have is the Holy Ghost. And so I can speak by the Holy Ghost and tell a demon to shut up and get out. I say, get out. Sometimes it can be so strong that you can feel it in the room. Get out. Hallelujah. If you enter somewhere before, then you know there's a foul spirit here. Like one day I entered my car and I could literally hear voices. And so I didn't respond. For the first few minutes, I didn't respond. Came out of my gate, just driving to the office. I didn't say a thing. So it got louder. You're just looking for attention. You're not worth it. So I played We Are in the Father's House. It was on YouTube. I played it on the car. We are now his temple. Me. So I branched the mall. I got parfait. I'm not that. What would the devil do? I believe on the name of Jesus. And I'll stand on the name of Jesus. And you know what? There's absolutely nothing that will go wrong with me. You are talking about them. Don't touch the tail of the tiger. This tiger has been defeated, and he knows it. Imagine the touts that everybody has beaten in the area. Primary school children have beaten. Secondary school has beaten. But because you are seeing his car and his voice is deep, you are running. He can be beaten. It's like Man U. Amen. Everybody beats Man U. It's your turn. You are not defending. No. Or Chelsea. Oh no, okay. We are not. Chelsea is just a very strong club. Hallelujah. It's working. The day starts working. This thing I'm doing. So don't focus on the thief. Jesus says, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. My eyes are on him. He would displace all the work of the enemy. He would displace it. He would displace it. He would displace it. Yeah. Yeah. So he says, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The word perissos. P-E-R-I-S-S-O-S. Some have S-S-M-O-S. That's a Greek word. I promised you that last week. It means to be surplus. Surplus, excessive, we've already defined it. Superior in quality and quantity. So when you say that he might have it more abundantly, he's not just talking about something that will be enough. Mm-mm. We said there are three levels of having. Not enough. Just enough, right? And more than enough. That was a psalm you were singing the other time, right? More than enough. And we have seen the character of God that he is the God of more than enough. So why did Jesus come? He says that they might have life excessive. So I'm going to ask you tonight. Are you living in surplus? The answer would be, if you're not, you say not yet. Amen. Because you're going to live in surplus. Amen. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. We said just enough is not God's idea. We saw it with the children of Israel. Took them from Egypt, where there is not enough. Took them to the wilderness, where there is just enough, right? Everything they need for that day, just enough. They don't have more than one shoe. That shoe will not wear out, but it's just enough, right? Then he took them, and we're going to see, he took them to the excessive. They described it as a land flowing. Say flowing. They described it as a land flowing with milk and honey. Of course, not literally, because it was also flowing with giants. Hallelujah. And I'm going to see what you do with what you do with the giants. Hallelujah. So we said, Jesus says that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So we said, excess is God's will. But the Bible says you do everything in moderation. That means you have not read it. That's Philippians 4. Philippians 4:4. He says, rejoice. Again, I say unto you, rejoice. Then in verse 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The funny thing is that the way it was, the Greek word was used in English, made it look like your moderation, like don't do things too much. But that's not the word moderation there, actually. The word moderation there was actually talking about forbearance and unselfishness, carrying everybody along. Not thinking about yourself alone, but ensuring that you are pulling each other through. Because the church in Philippi were going through persecution. So he tells them, let your forbearance, the ability to take everybody along, be known to men. Even when you're also in lack. And that says, be anxious for nothing. He wasn't talking about living low. There's this wrong doctrine that poverty is God's idea of humility. That is wrong. I've said it before, both poverty and riches are not fruit of the Spirit. Both. You can't say someone is not serving God because they don't have money. Or they don't have faith because they don't have money. And you also cannot say someone is God's favorite because they've got money. There are people who've got money who don't even believe in God. There are different factors that bring money to people's purse. Is that you're born rich? Which is the major thing. You know, there are folks who are 3 years old now and they've got more lands than I do. And they've got more assets than I do. I can't fight it. Amen. Well, I'm going to have in excess to myself. That's not... Was it Shola? Was it you? Okay, yeah. You followed me for a meeting on... What day was that? Was it Thursday? Okay, Thursday. Last Thursday. He followed me for a meeting at Ikeja. And I was telling him the story of the man. He said, and the man was actually narrating the story. He said, he used to trek to primary school. Odolowo, whatever market was there. We trek. And he didn't have enough to rent an apartment when he got married. And the wife, the brother he was cutting with had to move out for the wife to move in and all that. And I said, see what he's got now. You can't say because, I was born in a humble background. Humble. You see, who said being rich is not humble? Amen. My car is not flying yet. It's still on the road. Hallelujah. He's humble. He's Elon Musk you could go and meet that wants a starship. He's the one that is looking for a spaceship that's going to go to Mars. I'm comfortable on the road. Hallelujah. I'm not riding the Mercedes and say I want to fly tomorrow. Give me a flank. I can't be in traffic with all this Micra. If you're driving a Micra, calm down. A better one will come. Amen. Whatever we are driving now, a better one will come. Amen. And to come soon. Amen. Students, you are saying amen to car. A seed, Abby. That's saving the prayer. Where do you want to drive it to? Lecture hall? Just kidding. You can drive it to church. There's just this idea of, if I'm poor, you know, I will serve God more. No, you can't serve God with money. I mean, you can live in a mansion and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Philemon was one of the richest people in the city. Not in the church. In the city. The one you read, Philemon. Oh, Philemon, yeah. The way you have your Dangotes. Yeah. Philemon, go read the history, was very, very wealthy. And he served the Lord. Jesus' body was gotten from the government by one of his disciples, Joseph, who was wealthy. Stop thinking that God's idea for you is to live low. God's nature itself, we said, is excessive. He would multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and it will ensure that you have 12 baskets full. Just for a show off, just to show you that, just enough is not enough.
God revealed himself to Israel
as excessive. You must trust more in that nature of God. Don't stay on the plane of just enough. It's hard to get a global vision for your ministry when all the faith you've got is for your rent. You know, every year, year to year, God, this rent is just coming. I just want to pay this rent. At some point, you've got to move past the rent. He wants to use you for the nations. These your hands, they will bless the nations. Amen. Don't forget the night you said amen now. We have people that said amen. Now the hands are rich and they've forgotten. You see that your account, you used to transfer for missionaries. Amen. For the Lord's work.
Amen.
Yeah. He says, he'll meet our needs. He says, my God is able to supply your needs according to the economic landscape, right? Eh? My God is able to supply your needs according to his, not mine, his own. So, it means the limit to what I can get is the limit to what he can supply. And I know there's no time you can ask God and God will say, nah, is that not too much? That number, there's no number you want to ask God that you get shocked. You know, when we're younger, we say, 900 billion uncountable. If it's not uncountable, I don't know where you grew up. That's why when you're coming back, some of you use school bus. I don't think I ever used school bus. There was no bus. Okay. Yeah, in just three, there was one bus, but I think my dad paid for it and I did not use it. Why would I? Come on, how will you go home with boss? Will boss drop us to play game? Amen. I remember every time you're going to primary school, you say, I should just see on the floor. It's always on the floor. as we're just going like this, imagination will finish us. Imagine as we're just going to just see one sack. See how much you'll be there? Like 400 billion uncountable dollars. See, what will you use? What will you do with it? I will buy PS1. I remember when I buy PS1 like five. So that if one's poor, I'll play the other one. Excessive, man. Yeah. But you know, that number would not sound strange in God's ears. He made the planet. He made the stars. You think he's going to say, angels, God, there's a strange request. All these Nigerians, I don't understand. This guy just asked for $20 billion. Where does he want us to see it? I have faith. You know, it's possible to be debt free. Where you're not owing anyone. And I receive that for us.
Amen.
It's possible for your kids to go to the best schools. Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe. I believe I can work in plenty. You've got to get there in your mind first. This is not a motivational speaker. You've got to get there. In your soul. You know, John writes in 3 John, verse 2, he says, that you'll be prosperous, even as your soul prospers. That means, if my soul does not get prosperous, it's that bit difficult for me to get prosperous. Look at that. If my soul does not prosper, it means it's going to be a bit difficult. Yeah. Something like a cogwheel. For me to get prosperous, you've got to work on your mind. He said, you know what? I'm prospering. My leaves are green. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So does God not know when the cup is full? The question is, what is God's idea of enough? I remember I taught something sometime last year when we were looking at the Holy Ghost meetings. And we were full of the Spirit. And I told you that you're not full of the Spirit until you are overflowing. Thank you. The idea of being enough, God's idea of enough, is that it's overflowing. There's this game. I don't know how many of you have seen it, I've seen it online. Where two people would, they will keep pouring water inside the cup and it must not overflow, right? How many of you have seen the game before? All right, good. And then you're, tup, and then you're, tup, and then tup. Sometimes I don't see the point. I'll pour the water. I want it excessively, man. Every time. You can take the game. I want the fullness. Hallelujah. I always want to see something full. And, you know, the point of the game is, the cup is not full until it overflows. So, God's idea of enough, if I, with the things of the Spirit, you are not full of the Spirit until you overflow into others. So I'm full of the Spirit, but you've never given a word of knowledge. I'm full of the Spirit. Nobody at your place of work has got any prophecy from you. Ever. Not that I keep it professional. Really? You're not full. I'm not saying you go about Monday morning meeting. Before the boss comes and then say, Ropa de karababa, everybody speak! Hope you have your letter ready. Amen? Except you're the boss. Which you'll be soon, eh?
Yeah.
But you know, you don't necessarily have to be the boss to have plenty. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Just saying. Just saying. One of the richest men in the world is still an employee, 9 to 5, no record. He's top 5. Forgotten his name. Just held on to his shares. He's not selling it. Hallelujah. You will have plenty.
Amen.
This plenty that we're saying is for the work of the ministry. Earlier in the week, I was listening to Pastor Ibukun Awosika. She's on the board of First Bank. She used to be. And she was talking about how every time she was talking about how to manage money. I just stumbled on it. She's someone I respect so much. I don't say go and download all the teachings and be listening. Wolumo. So you were talking about manage money and all that. So I just stumbled on it at home. I was listening and said that she told God that she wants to have plenty of money so that she can give to ministries. I told you about Reverend Copeland. You know what it means to say we are taking care of 2,500 families of missionaries? And it's not one bag of rice. Clothing, school fees, shelter, materials, community balls, buses for 2,500 ministries in one calendar year. You can't do that until you're overflowing. Amen. And you will.
Amen.
All right. Leviticus 26. I'll show you something. Leviticus 26 is the prelude to Deuteronomy 28. If you know Deuteronomy 28, if you don't know Deuteronomy 28, I don't know why you got born again. Deuteronomy 28, they used it to bless people, but they also used it to do something else too. Leviticus 26. This is for me and you. It says, verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give you rain in due season. and the land shall yield an increase. The trees of the field shall yield a fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. See, that's the issue with poverty. Poverty is when it doesn't reach. How far the rent? It has not reached. It's always rich for you. It says, your threshing shall reach to the vintage. And vintage shall reach to the sowing time. That means you will not have to wait till another time. You will not lack in between. He said, you will eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land. You shall lie down, none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies. And they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Amen. For I will have respect unto you, and I will make you fruitful and multiply. Establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat the old stuff, and bring forth the old because of the new. Amen. What a prayer. He says, you will eat the old stuff, and you will have to now take out the old one because the new will come. Moses and prayer. This is some strong prayer. Says, at some point, you have to dash someone, your car, because there's a new one coming and there's the parking space. You know? Because you're not full until you're overflowing. You must learn to put out the old one. Don't be like that man that said, I have harvested. My barns are full. My soul merry. And the Lord says, tonight your soul will be requested of you. Because when it's too much, you don't look around, you look up. You look to the one who gave you, and you're full of thanks. And then you sow to others. Don't forget Galatians 6. It says, you do good to men as long as it's within your capacity. You do good to all men. Then it tells you, especially those in the household of faith, those you call brethren, sister, says you must. It's what I told you last week, right? So one of the keys to multiplicity is that you must learn to give. It's a general principle that if you sow, you reap. And oftentimes, you reap more than you sow. If you sow, you reap. You don't have to be a Christian, self. Hallelujah. If you sow, you reap. I remember the time we went to someone for some business precede funding. And the reason why we got it was, said, this is your guy. He's a good boy. He has helped me a lot. In fact, he used to be the one that will design this for me, do this for me. So, he's the one I'm looking at. He's the one I'm looking at. And we got it. All the presentation, we didn't even present. You know, when you have prepared your deck, I'll just start with the storytelling. You know, they've told you, I'm a master in pitching. You know? And I was about to start the mastery. Everything that has been practiced all night. Nigeria is at a turning point. You know, today, these days now, you just say something meets luxury. Everything they meet luxury. Unira. Where comfort meets luxury. Where health meets luxury. Find something else to say. Where comfort. Shut up. Where's the luxury? You know, so I was planning to all of those luxury. Man said, close the laptop. This guy is a good guy. That's sowing and reaping. If he had been someone who scammed and ran away with money and by mistake came to the room, I would have been denying him. Hey! He came alone. He came, you know. Because I'm not a thief. Hallelujah. Because you will reap what you sow. You have been wicked to everybody. Every time you have, it's only you that enjoys it. Now you need help. And you wonder why people are not helping you. It's not because there's a mark of ill luck on you. No. It's because you're not a good person. You need a fortune teller to tell you you're not a good person. Change. Yourself, change. Akagon. Everything, you buy it for yourself. You have never, and in the old stock are still there. But the Bible says, when the new comes, what do? You bring forth the old. The old slippers. I know you like it so much. It matches most of your dresses. But give it to that sister. God places in your heart. You know she needs it. Amen. Learn to bring forth the old. Learn something. Genesis 26. Go and ask everyone who got prosperous, material wealth, by believing in God. Of course, with also their work, the work of their hands. When we say God is going to intervene, God is going to do that. Don't mistake it for laziness. Don't mistake it for you're going to see that and angels are going to bring you a bag of money. That doesn't happen anywhere. If you see money in your wardrobe, it belongs to someone. No angel mistakenly supplied you. There's nothing. There is nothing like miracle money. The only miracle money is the one you prayed for in need and someone transferred to you and someone said, I was led to give you. That's a miracle money. But if you think you're just going to wake up beside your bed and you're going to see a bag full of dollars, you had better scream for help. Someone wrote something. Say, what if you wake up and you just look at the bank account and you find 564 billion naira? I said, I will call the bank. I will run to the bank myself and say, Egbamio, return my 65. Amen. Because why do I want to go to the FCC? Why? Why do I want to start answering questions? 564 billion. You slept with 6-5. And I said, I was quickly transferred. You're kidding. I will run. To where? To where? Mamwe. Because there's no miracle money. The same way there's no miracle baby. If you wake up beside your bed and you see a baby, you say, God has just given us miracle baby. No. Ask for the mother. Who dropped this child here? Hallelujah. You can't have a miracle house too. It has to be built. Except someone decides to say, I give you this house. And you can call it miracle. You can't even put it on it. House of miracle. Amen. When you reach your tongue, you can say it's not glorious house. It's miracle house. Amen. There's no miracle money. Money is a legal tender. Angels are not going to rescue any money from accident and bring to you. You and the angel are thieves. At the war, at the angel, ESCC. I say, oh, Pastor, there was a time I saw money in my pocket. Oh, God, you forgot it there. I see money in my pocket every time. Every time. Hallelujah. I see money in my bag every time. And I know it's not a miracle. I forgot it there. Hallelujah. Genesis 26. So I said, anyone who got wealthy, prosperous materially, through their believing in God and trusting in the Lord, watch, a common baseline is that they are givers. A common baseline. You know how Paul started that, Genesis, Galatians 6? He said, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. If he sows kindness, he will kindness. God is not mocked. He started with Corinth by telling them that, see, God is able to make things abound towards you bountifully if you give. I've always said it, there's a tilt line, there's a tipping point in every message. We can teach this to our next time and say, oh, God wants you to give everything and all of that. I've never told anyone to bring God your salary. I don't preach that. I don't preach first fruit. But I preach giving as you are led. And guess when you should be led? Every time. There should not be a month or a week where you don't intentionally give. Whether to the poor, to family, to your pastor, to the church. I mean, every week, there must be something you are intentionally giving to. Every week. It could be a socks. It could be a shoe. Give it to someone who needs it. Necklace. It doesn't have to be bogus. Just be a giver. Okay, Lord, what funing be men? Genesis 26. What I just said, let me interpret it before it's not incantation. The giver's hand is always at the top. Except when you are giving Nigerian police. You have to squeeze it. Like, say, help spouse. But the giver's hand is meant to be at the top. Hallelujah. Except for very weird cases. Genesis 26. Are you learning something? I'm not sure. Are you? All right. This is Isaac. Then Isaac, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. He's talking about his agriculture, his land. And the man waxed great and went forth. I will be great. You know, I'll make it. I told you earlier, right? I told my wife many years ago. Before I got married. So you see, I will make it. I don't know how to toast to, but I will make it. Between me and you, you know. You can't deny greatness. Eventually, you can't block the sun for long. It will show by force. He says, and the man waxed great and went forth and grew till he became. You see God's idea? God did not stop at, we make him great. And I said, he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. That is when you know that you are now doing it. That's when you know the cup is running over. Envy. The Philistines envied him. Have you ever looked at someone before and you say, this God is blessing this guy? I have. I've seen people. Have you seen people like that before? You look at what they are doing and you say, what are the odds? This has to be God. God has to be backing him somewhere. Not envy now, right? But you just know you can see the hand of God. That's how much God wants people to see your life. Amen. You just say, God's got to be helping him. The way this thing. I know this. I know when he started the business now. I knew when he got that work. We're all here now. How did he now go? Normally, that's not the career path. Normally, it takes people about 12 years before they now. But his own. It's only, you know, suddenly. God has to be behind this. That's God's idea. I see where people are receiving now. When we get to Sunday, we're talking about prayer. Man receive Kojakin here. I'm talking about prayer. I see you are all receiving. Good. Amen. Keep receiving. Hallelujah. They envied him. Has anyone envied you yet? Not yet, yeah? Don't worry. It's coming. He became very great. That's God's idea. Very great. Jeremiah 3. Does God not know when the cup is full? He says, he anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Guess what? It's all in the presence of my enemies. God does not need a smooth situation to do his own thing. He doesn't need the naira to be stable and the foreign exchange, you know, the reserves to be... I don't care! Now, I follow the news. I follow all monetary policies, all fiscal policies. I have to. I'm a business person. I know everything. But I also know somewhere that God does not really need it. Amen. I told someone, sometime last year, and I said, there's never been an economy anywhere in the world so poor that there are not people getting rich. That's never happened. That everybody became poor at the same time. Even in countries where there are dollars, you know that they buy bread with million. You've not heard before. He said, I want to buy bread, 2 million. 30 million. You want to buy Pampas. I said, there are still people who are wealthy in those places. God's kingdom cannot be stopped. He will spread his gospel through prosperity. We read it last week, right? Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17. Through prosperity shall his kingdom be established. Jeremiah 3, that's where we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's number 6. Behold, I will bring it out and cure. And I'll cure them. And I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. I'll cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return. And we build them as the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquities whereby they have sinned against me. I'll pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Verse 9. And it shall be unto me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all nations of the earth. So God intends that your life will bring all nations to him, right? Which shall hear all the good that I shall do to them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure into it. God is saying, this is what I will do to Judah and to Israel. I will bless them so much that everybody will look and say, God is behind this. So while things might be small now, like I said, let your soul prosper. You must see God and you must keep seeing God as the one who can make the cup run over. I said, God's idea is not just enough. Just enough to get by the year. Just enough to eat. Just enough to feed. Just enough for the school fees of the children. Just enough for rent. Just enough for this. No, that's not God's idea. Because he wants to use you to also bless others. God's idea is that you will have more than enough. Don't let anybody use poverty or lack to humble you. It's a false doctrine to say that riches does not come from God. It's false doctrine to say that everyone who is rich have their hands in something dirty. No! Reinhard Bonnke, who is my favorite, as you all know, shared Bibles in over 100 countries. In Nigeria alone, in 2006 and 7, Reinhard Bonnke had shared over 10 million Bibles. In Nigeria alone. 10 million Bibles. Kakakatuzetea. 10 million Bibles. That's not all. He now had books. I remember, there are two. Now that you're saved, and evangelism by fire. Everyone gets it. If I remember, my family got 5 Bibles. 2 now that you're saved, 2 evangelism by fire. I was the only one reading the evangelism by fire. Amen. One man. Because God's idea is not just enough. It's not just enough. Just enough to get by. Just enough to just, you know, don't do too much. Don't let people see you. No. He said, and they envied Isaac. God is the one that did that. You know, not just money. Your family will so much serve the Lord. You, your husband, your children. You, your wife, your children, if you're a man. My husband. If I see you as a man, throwing low lipstick, I'm buying you a drink. Amen. We are in different things. We are really ill. There's not a polycool. Yeah, that today, a group of people that they can interdate each other. In this world, your sanity is kept. Yeah. You know, you have a godly family. You, your spouse, your children, serving the Lord. Amen. No lack, nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. That's beautiful, right? That's God's idea. That's God's idea. Not the one that you're always fighting. And then the Ethan, we envy and say, what's keeping them together? It's the Lord. Amen. Too much? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Too much? Yes, Lord. Joshua chapter 17. And I'll start rounding up here. I need to go. Too much?
Yes, Lord.
I want too much. You see that cup that is flowing, overflowing? Go. That's my target. I said, I don't want too much in life. I just want a cup half full. As long as there's water in the cup. Eh? You are who? How will I now be able to give 10 million Bibles up? Because that's my target. And I will do it. Amen. I will do it. 10 million Bibles. Do nothing, that's one country. He went to Kenya, he went to Ghana, he went to Libya, he went to Liberia, he went to South Africa, he went to almost every African country. We will need to pray. Oh. How much must you have to do that? More than enough, right? Joshua 17. The background of this is the God promised the children of Israel. Don't forget, we said when they were in Egypt, they had not enough. Then God took them from not enough to just enough in the wilderness, where they were not hungry, but they didn't have more than one shoe. That shoe did not wear out, but it was just one shoe. And they were feeding on manna. Amen. Just enough. And God promised them more than enough, which was the land of Canaan. But the first generation failed. They stayed in the wilderness for so long that they must have believed it was God's will. You know, there's a way you can be in a situation. It's God's will. But Joshua and Caleb and the second generation, they didn't take that. They didn't settle for just enough. So they approached the land and they saw the giant and they said, God told us this is mine. They took it. Said, God told us this is our land. And the giant said, your land? Over our dead bodies. And they said, that works. Amen. If it's over your dead body, you said it. Amen. I didn't say you have to die. You said over your dead body. That works for us. So when do we move in? And they took it. So, Genesis, Joshua 4, 17 now. Verse 14. And the children of Joseph spoke unto Joshua, saying, so, they now got Canaan because they took it. So they took it. You have to take it. You must learn to take it. I remember Pastor Chris Jacqueline say, you must take it. I was listening to one of his tapes. I think it was 2005. Yeah, 2005. Audacity of Faith. I got that Pastor Matthew Ashimolowo's store in Okeado, Ibadan. I'm still very grateful to Pastor Matthew Ashimolowo today. I mean Reverend Matthew now. I don't care what you want to say. He had a bookstore in Okeado from 99 till about, I don't know. I stopped going to Okeado around 2010. But we used to get used to be first books, then VHS tapes where you use VCD to play. Was it VCD? No. VCD was disc now. You use VCR to play, and then later we started having CDs with VCD and all that. He used to give us discount every second and last Friday. It was last Friday. So you get books, tapes, everything at 50% discount. And I remember I used to hide the books from my mom and the CDs from my mom because it was Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. And I felt if she had seen it, I might not be here today. I might be here, but with a mark. Hallelujah. And I remember listening to the Audacity of Faith, and he was talking about how the Christian must actively receive. It's not just enough that God promised you something. Do you want it? If you want it, you've got to take it. You've got to take it. Things don't just come on people. Elisha said, I want it. And Elisha said, if you want it, I'm not just going to say it. You have to see me go. That means what the other sons of the prophets will not do. You have to do it. That's your receiving. The other son of the prophet said, do you know that the master is taking from us today? He said, I know. He followed him all the way till he was taken up. The mantle doesn't just come on people. God's blessings, fine. He causes his rain to fall on both the righteous and the unrighteous, the thankful and the unthankful. But if you are going to salvage rain and save it, you've got to bring out your own bucket. You've got to receive it yourself. Jesus was walking. The woman who had the issue of blood, she didn't just get healed because Jesus was walking. She had to touch. The young man that was letting through the roof didn't just get healed because he heard Jesus' voice. No. They had to let him down. That's an act of receiving itself. It's called lambano, where you actively take it for yourself. Many people are just waiting for God. You're not a make-a-wish kid. Where things just fall on your laps, on a platter. If God says something, I have to take it for myself. God gave them Canaan, but a lot of them did not enter. Why? Because they didn't know how to receive it. They didn't know how to take it. But this generation took it, the second one. But they now started complaining. The son of Joseph, which they will feel they have a lot of role to play. You know, they are the sons of Joseph. Why should not give us preferential treatment? By history, our fathers Our fathers were the ones that fed you. They asked you in Goshen. Jesus said, that one does not concern me. What do you want? So they said, why have you given us but one lot, one portion to inherit? Seeing that I am a great people, for as much as the Lord has blessed me hitherto. And Joshua said, if you are a great people, then you will get up to the wood country and cut down for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites of the giants. That is, if you are truly a great people, like you are saying that you want more, then you've got to go fight the giants. Being a great person is not by mouth. You confess everything in church. I will be great. I will make it. Fine. It's time to walk now. It's time to put everything together. Great man. You are not taking any course, no skill. Great man. Great man, you are the laziest at work, but you want promotion. Eh? When I was praying the other time, and I said, it has to be, they will say, God is the one that did this. You said, amen. But you are the laziest at work. Let's be telling ourselves the truth. Every staff meeting is you. Believer, jscmedia.org. Every day on your status. That's only learning. You are not going to put JC Media. You are still the one that will lie at work. You are not going to put JC Media. You are the one that they will find you always sleeping. When they now wake you up, you're not like this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a lie. Lord Jesus, who? You have gotten to Akure. Joshua said, if you are such a great people, go to the land of the Perizzites. Cut down for yourself. There is land. You are the one that is not going there. And Judah, he told multiple tribes the same thing. And Judah took it. Amen. Look at Joshua chapter 19. Play for me as I close. Before chapter 19, stay in that chapter 14, right? I'll be chapter 17. I want to show you something. Verse 14. So they were telling Joshua and said, why did you give us one lot, one portion to inherit? And while I was reading this, what came to my mind is, every time you pressure people, and you find out that you're always pressuring people, it might mean that you have not yet seen God as your source. I mean, there are specific people you pressure every time. Your husband, your uncle, your pastor, your employer. You know, you just have specific people you run to. If they tell you, you need 10 million naira tomorrow morning, you have a list in your head. That's wrong. That's not too good. What Joshua just taught them is, your moving forward is not up to me. It's up to you. If you're going to get the land, if you're going to become a great people like you said, then I have nothing to do with it. Your reliance on people oftentimes is a show of you not relying on God enough. Don't limit God on channels He can use to bless you. Don't put a full stop. Don't close the fire of ways that God can use to get to you. His ways are unimaginable. So you've got to open up your heart and just go the extra mile. Trust in Him. Don't limit God to those people. Faith does not put pressure on people. Faith goes to God. What I say? Faith does not put pressure on people. Faith goes to God. Faith approaches God. Faith sees God as the ultimate source, not man. So let your uncle rest. Amen? Let your uncle rest. You said, be a source of blessing. Let people have you in their prayer point. Let people have you in their list of people they want to get favor from. It's time to move higher. Enough. Enough in the valleys. Enough in the lowlands. Joshua 19. See what now happened to Judah when they took Joshua's advice. And I believe that this is for me and you. Joshua 19 verse 9. Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. Look at that. It says, what Judah now had. Don't forget, how did all of them get their portion? They had to go fight the giants for it. It says, what Judah was not able to get was too much. Too much that the children of Simeon had to be included in it. Is that taking forth the old store to make room for the new? That's what God wants to do through you. He wants you to look around you and say, is this not too much? His peace is going to flood your heart too much. Amen. Your health too much. Amen. Excess. Excess. Amen. Excess. Amen. He says, I am come that he might have life and have it in excess. So if there's a lack, if there's a shortcoming, if there's something that's not enough, what the Bible teaches us, Philippians 4 verse 6, is to not be anxious for anything. That means there are things that would naturally want to make you anxious and scared. How do I go about this? What's the next thing? Everybody has it all figured out. What do I do? How do I progress? How do I proceed? What's next in my life? And Paul has a counsel for you. He says, be anxious for nothing. Say, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, say, let your request be made known unto God. He didn't say, let the pastor know. He didn't say, let your brother know. He didn't say, let your wife know. He didn't say, let your husband know. He says, let God know what you need. I believe we can do that tonight. Because if we ask, we'll receive. We'll seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be open. He doesn't hold back his good from anyone. He doesn't. He wants to make us channels of blessings to others. I want to bless people. I want to help people. Widows, orphans, widowers, the homeless, people who don't know what tomorrow looks like, the people who are trying to get off drugs, the ones who are into prostitution and they're trying to find their life back. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To set at liberty the captive. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, I'm sent. And I'm ready. And I know that I've got God's backing. And He'll provide all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack. Pray for yourself.